Tsunami Gaff. Wasting every Saturday night together. Only Tsunami.
It's episode 60 of the Tsunami Gaff podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have C. Kohler.
Hello.
B. Dubs.
Hi.
And BB Boy 20.
Sometimes even dreams can come from the strangest places.
Okay, moving on. Quick bit of news. Looks like there's a Attack on Titan marathon on July 4th, surprising no one.
Nope. Also, there's two new Metroid games.
We just talked about that for like half an hour.
Yes, yeah, we did, except we weren't taping. I just, you know, if somebody didn't watch E3 and this is where they get their news.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which is, it's going to be like that one guy who just randomly came across this.
I only get my world news from the Tsunami Gaff podcast because I am...
an idiot.
Please don't do that.
Or maybe do. We don't know.
Anyway, let's immediately talk about Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super, Episode 21, The Start of Vengeance, The Frieza Force's Malice Strikes Gohan. Or not really.
Yeah.
Because everyone just kind of gets beaten up.
Does everyone get beaten up?
I mean the Frieza Force.
Well, yeah, okay, the Frieza Force gets beaten up.
Yeah, apparently and they're like, all scrubs, by comparison.
Well, I mean, like, everyone that was fighting them was at least Super Saiyan 1 level.
Except for Roshi, right? I'm assuming his buff form is like something that hasn't been around for a long time.
Well, I mean, Roshi apparently has been training in the background. Like, he's not like, you know, really super strong, but he's like probably handicap him around, you know, somewhere Goku goes leaves for Namek.
Okay.
I guess something like that.
It was kind of neat to see him do his Kamehameha, because that's like, you know, he invented it.
Yeah, that's his move.
Yeah.
Like, it was a nice reminder that Goku stole all his moves from people. Like, he got nothing that he came up with by himself.
Everybody in this episode does, like, a signature move.
Mm-hmm. Except even, Gohan.
Yeah, well, I thought he did one, but maybe not.
No, but, he fired ki blasts, and then he got a hole in the chest.
Oh. I kept waiting for Piccolo to do the closed beam, but he did something different.
You should have done that to Gohan when he showed up in the tracksuit.
Oh, wait, no, but he did do the closed beam, though. He did the special modified version of the closed beam where he can suddenly, like, replace Gohan's missing heart. Remember that scene?
Oh, yeah.
He just puts his hand on the hole in Gohan's chest, and then suddenly he's healed. It's like, what power is that?
I don't know. Wherever it came from, good on you, Piccolo. He is the most useful character in this series. Swear to God.
And simultaneously the most useless.
This is true.
Anyway, so Jaco is also there.
No, like Jaco is the most useless character.
5 seconds.
Yeah, he kicked one guy and then hid behind a rock.
Yeah, Bulma is still on her bent of, well, after Namek, I just want to be in all the dangerous places now.
Well, I mean, she survived an exploding planet, you know? She's like, what the hell's going to kill me? This?
I mean,
It's not very smart, regardless.
No, it's really not, especially when she spends the entire time shit-talking the bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is no one, like, run over it? How does Frieza not just shoot her in the head?
Frieza's pretty great, too. I'm loving... I don't have any of it written down, but he had lots of really funny dialogue.
I love how they translate Frieza's dialogue, because, like, in the Japanese, it's sort of, like, more pedestrian and, you know, standard evil guy. But when they bring it over, it's all classy and, like, he knows he's better than you are.
I'm suddenly realizing I don't remember what happened in this episode.
Hang on. They fought the goons.
Then that's it.
Then the red guy hugged Gohan, and then the skinny guy shot them both. Then Piccolo used his new clothes beam to replace Gohan's heart, and then Ginyu Frog showed up
at the very end. Yeah, and yes. the skinny guy claims that he is stronger than all of the Ginyu Force or something like that.
That's not that hard. I mean, literally everyone there but Roshi is probably stronger than them.
And then I guess the skinny guy is vying to replace Sorbet.
I guess.
Yeah. Although I don't expect him or that Sorbet guy to be around much longer.
No, Frieza doesn't seem like the kind of dude that's going to let anyone survive, even his own guys.
Right.
Especially when they're all that useless.
Anyway, so Goku and Vegeta still training.
We're just counting down until they arrive. I mean, nothing can really start until they get there.
Well, I mean, apparently it's going to take them like half an hour. Because they got to...
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently that's how long it takes the length of a standard anime episode to get from Beerus's world to Earth.
Also, Krillin is having like, oh, I suck now! And it's like, why did you come then?
He's got PTSD, come on.
But then Noah's like, oh, wait, I'm a badass.
I forgot, I'm stronger than everyone else.
Like, I'm not even thinking and I'm dodging these hits.
Oh, wait, I can kill all these guys very easily. Like, Krillin as a cop is, like... Can I just say how great that is, if only because... Like, he's not gonna run around acting like he's John McClane or something, even though he totally should.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a good episode, though. Like, following Krillin around on his beat.
No.
No, you're probably right. That would be bad.
Anyway, you guys want to talk about Kai? Dragon Ball Z Kai, the final chapter is 120, and A Heart of Evil Awakened, Vegeta, Prince of Destruction. Who could have seen this one coming?
It's not like he had any evil in his heart to exploit.
No, not at all.
No, there was no anger or jealousy or really any negative emotions at all.
Nobody could have possibly prepared for this at all?
This could not have been prevented in any way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised at some point Supreme Kai wasn't like, you know, maybe we should ask Vegeta to wait outside.
Well, okay, let's just talk there for a second. I'm never surprised by Supreme Kai because the guy's a freaking idiot. He's like the worst character.
He is probably the worst Kai. Like, King Kai probably would have been like, Vegeta, go wait outside. We'll be out in like a minute.
I mean, I don't... Like, all he does is stand around and be surprised at things he ought to know about. And he's not willing to tell people important information before it happens.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Like, he should have been paying way more attention to Earth, because if he knew how strong everybody was, he never would have bothered with an insane plan like giving Majin Buu half his power back, just to start with.
Like, probably a good nomination for worst character?
Yeah, like, if he had been paying more attention, he would have shown up at, like, Gohan or Vegeta's house and been like, hey, we're trying to fight this, you know, evil thing. Can you come and help us out, you know, because you're so much stronger than we are.
No, he's got the worst plans, and for somebody who you're supposed to believe is, like, you know, kind of, like, all-knowing and a leader of people, he's just incompetent.
It's almost like he was not trained properly for the job he's been given.
That, yeah, and I'm sure that's part of it. But at the same time, it's like, then don't try to do what you're doing. Get someone else. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
B-Boy, you got any opinions?
Nope.
Yeah, it's that kind of episode, right?
Yep.
Honestly, outside of Vegeta turns evil, what was even in this episode?
Gohan was getting his butt kicked a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And Vegeta was like, oh my god, I can't believe how badly he sucks now!
Well, yeah, I mean, Gohan could have, like, ripped this guy in half when he was, like, what was he, 8?
Yeah.
Like one punch and the guy's head would have come flying off.
Yeah, well, all I could think about, though, is that, like, as much as Vegeta was complaining that Gohan hasn't been training and all this other stuff, Gohan still looks like he's freaking super jacked, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait till you see him in Super, man.
Yeah, complain about when he gets all skinny and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is basically the Gohan sucks now power hour.
Kinda. Yeah, at least for a little while. Well, I mean, at the same time, Vegeta couldn't have beaten Deborah, let's be real. Like, if Gohan, you know, with the Super Saiyan 2 thing didn't have that on lockdown, regular-ass Vegeta probably didn't either.
But can't Vegeta go Super Saiyan 2?
No, not yet. Well, I mean, now he can, because, you know, he got the Mark of Evil and whatnot.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other thing that's funny to me about these episodes and Kai is that, like, Bobbity, like,
yeah.
It's just, I never know what this guy could do. He could do anything. He's magic. It's
yeah.
I gotta explain shit. It's magic, you know? Like, he can just teleport people across the universe and then suddenly brain control people, mind control them. It's like, what can't this guy do?
Fight.
Yeah.
Not die.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, guys want to talk about Attack on Titan?
Yes.
Attack on Titan, episode 32, Close Combat, in which a really great MMA fight is ruined by the fact that I can't tell what Aaron is saying.
No one knows what he's saying.
He's saying, swear to me!
I'm all alone!
Where's the trigger? Where is it?
Nice coat.
I don't wear hockey pads.
Somebody in the thread said that this is peak Aaron.
Yeah, no, he gets worse after this.
This is peak Aaron. This is the most Aaron has ever been.
This is like when he is actually good and not horrible. So, you know, drink it in.
I guess that, like, I kind of take it that, like, he's supposed to be, when he's in Titan form, then maybe he's supposed to be, like, turning a little animalistic or something because he's just so pissed off, but it could just be that he's just being himself. I can't tell.
Yeah, no one can. I mean, he's always pissed off, let's be real.
Yeah.
So otherwise, we have really bad-looking CGI Titan.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, it's definitely, like, noticeably CGI. And then somebody in the thread, I think it was Bishop, was like,
I mean, it's
you
not
can
berserk.
Count the polygons.
I mean, it's not berserk bad, let's be real.
No, like, that's what I'm getting at.
Nothing is berserk bad.
Like that literally pisses me off how they keep screwing up that damn series.
Oh god.
I mean, in this case it's like HBO, we're finally doing it right.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what it's gonna take is someone at HBO getting into the manga and being like, hey, you know, we could probably do this.
Yeah.
Once again, you'll find Bear Animations just watching Star Fox 64 than this berserk.
That walking animation is literally the talking animation from Star Fox 64.
It really is.
My god. Anyway, so, I like that part where Aaron was like, I'm gonna do it, and then punch. He just gets launched in the air.
Yeah.
Cut to commercial break. It's like, oh, that's right, you suck.
I mean, he's kind of going up to, like, a pro Titan shifter. So he didn't really have a whole lot of, you know, going for him, I think.
Which is weird, because Reiner hasn't exactly had a lot of opportunities to use that form.
No, but I kind of think...
He's literally had, we've seen him on screen in Titan form one time.
Right, a long time ago.
Only the lonely.
But I think that, like, I don't know this, but I get this impression that both he and Bert, they have, like, a lot of experience wherever they came from.
Yeah, the manga is actually getting into that right now, which is like three arcs later.
Okay.
Well, they
clearly have knowledge that nobody else has about Titans and Titan form, I think. And yeah. That's why I kind of feel like and he probably I don't understand how Titans work, and I'm not expecting to know, but like he's got, you know, the armor plating and stuff. And I kind of wonder if, like, he knows how to do that or if that's just something unique to him. And if it is something he knows how to do, then that sort of shows that he's, like, extra skilled at it. I don't know.
Or even if it's unique to him, it's like, holy crapola.
So, at the end, you know, Colossal Titan is like, oh, hey, guys. I'm a
here too. Oh.
That's a really creepy image where he's just, like, dropping wide open mouth.
And that cut to be continued.
That was a good cliffhanger.
That is a very roundabout cliffhanger.
I also like the scene too where Hanji or whatever her name is, like, was standing on Eren's shoulder in Titan form, and he's like, "You need to do this," and then he kind of looks at her and she starts fangirling and she's getting all blushing and stuff. She's like, "Oh my god."
She literally has like a "I just came" sound.
Yeah, kind of. It's off screen. Like, the camera pans away, but you hear it.
She's like, "I'm talking to a Titan!"
That was kind of a nice little... Yeah, she is. It was a nice little moment. I like her character, and we haven't seen that part of her character in a while, so it's cool.
There's an upcoming episode, the next episode, basically, where, at least in regards of Yuki Kaji, the Japanese voice actor of Eren, this is what I believe is actually maybe the best acting from Eren. And I was straight wondering, is how is Bryce Papenbrook gonna pull that off? And considering how this episode resulted alone, I'm just not optimistic at all that Bryce is even going to pull off some of the intricacies that are going to happen in next episode. Bryce is a good actor, but compared to Yuki, like, I was never once convinced he was able to really act like or to talk like Rage personified. I don't know, it's just that's the advantage the Japanese language has, Bryce, the very moment that he took on the Colossal Titan the first time, that would have been Bryce's moment to prove that if he really could pull that impression off, and he never did. And the other thing is, this episode personally has been really like the closest idea of what people expected that what the show was capable of pulling off. And Bryce's performance just crashes all that to the ground.
Well, like, I'm not so sure it's his performance. I kind of wonder if, like, he's just being poorly directed too.
Yeah, that was my thought. Like, they made a bad decision about how they were going to do his Titan voice early on, and now it's like, oh,
they gotta stick with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right that he's a good actor, and that's probably not why this sounds so bad. It's more like, you got to make him growl, and it's like, ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, they might not have realized early on how much time or, you know, what exactly he winds up doing in Titan form.
We were kind of all just laughing at those scenes when we probably should have been like, this is hype.
Yeah, it really is that episode, and add in his performance and add in the ratings, it's like, yeah, I guess Attack on Titan is kind of done being that uber popular. If not that many Americans alone are even going to bother watching perhaps the best episode to date.
You know, I think, you know, they waited 4 years and then a One Punch Man just kind of came in and stole all of its lunch.
Well, One Punch Man stole everyone's lunch.
Yes. Saitama made children cry by stealing their lunch.
He literally has made children cry before.
Yep. Anyway, you guys want to talk about Tokyo Ghoul?
No. Guess we have to.
Tokyo Ghoul episode 10, Aogiri. In this episode, just kind of people show up on Teiku and then things happen and for some reason. And then old guy is like, give up on seeing him ever again. And then 5 seconds later, he's like, I never said give up on seeing him ever again. Also, here's gourmet guy.
Yeah, it's just, they're doling out embarrassing character after embarrassing character.
Yeah.
Now they've got this crazy white-haired kid who, as best as I can tell, is probably the son of the white-haired guy who died.
I don't think so.
He might not be, but
because
he certainly...
I believe his backstory was Jason killed my wife and daughter. Now I'm a crazy person.
All right. Well, he might as well be. Just judging by the way he acts,
he had an illegitimate kid. You know. Like, he just wound up banging some chick one night, and now he's got a son he didn't know about.
I wouldn't put it past
it. He's like, hey guys, I'm an anime character! Anime!
Yeah, he's like, I don't care about anything, but I'm secretly the most badass character in the show, or something like that.
Derby nerd, pay no attention to me! And then there's Toka's brother, who's just like, generic edgelord, he's like, no, I'm so strong. You're so weak. He's like, kill everyone.
He's like Sasuke, basically.
And then at least he seems to smile a bit more.
This show doesn't allow people to smile.
No smiling.
So then, you know, there's other also overly emotional mood swing guy. It's like, are you dating her? Oh, you're not. Okay, you were totally fine. Are you dating her?
Yeah, and why does it need to be a secret that her liver is inside him? Like, why don't you just tell that dude that she died? Of course, it's written in such a way that he does not realize or know that she's dead. It's like, dude, I'm not dating that girl. She's dead.
Well, maybe they were trying to, like, spare his feelings or something. You know, it'd be like, oh, no, she went to America. Yeah, she went to America. She went to Chicago.
I think he lied in the episode. And it's like, oh, yeah, he said, like, he said something like, I'm in a
we're close, but you know.
Oh yeah, like we're close. And it's like, dude, just don't beat around the bush.
That is literally the least, that is, what?
I have her liver inside of me.
Yeah, you just go, hey, I've
it
got
was
some,
medical malpractice.
I'm not your enemy. I'm not dating her. I have some really bad news for you. She died. By the way, she also tried to kill me.
And then the doctor put her inside of me because malpractice.
Because apparently you can do that.
Like, they didn't even bother type matching the blood or anything. You know, they just hoped it would work.
You're practically different species. I'm surprised it did anything.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm a little surprised, you know, the guy didn't up and die 3 seconds later.
Right.
Anyway, that's a lot. So also, Jason is here. And he's here to, like, smash Kaneki's face into a wall off-screen for, like, 5 minutes.
Why off-screen, though? I would have wanted to see that.
Edge is infecting you?
No, I just don't like the character. I want to see him get the shit kicked out of him.
Well, all he did was, like, make sure he no longer had a face.
So what do you think? Worst character in the year is going to be a three-way race between Banager, Supreme Kai, and Kaneki?
This isn't even a contest.
Yeah, Kaneki's on the list for sure because he's again
he is the list.
He like is a he's kind of a non-character. That's his problem. He's just there's nothing interesting about him. Oh, except that the fact that he's one of those rare one-eyed ghouls.
That's not interesting.
No, it isn't. No.
Nope.
Also, if I was a ghoul and I lived my whole life as a ghoul. And I had heard that there are these things called one-eyed ghouls. I think I'd want to know a little bit about what the hell that means. These people act like they don't know how it happens. And it's like, it's pretty obvious how it happens. You just put a ghoul guts in a human and they turn into one of these.
Yeah.
But like, they don't care or look into it or they're kind of dumb.
Well, apparently it was some guy in the CCG was like, oh yeah, they never get to go to elementary school, and so they're all stupid. Because I mean, it was like, oh, that does make sense. Because they can't eat human food at all, period. And kids probably can't handle that, so they all get driven out of school.
But again, not to dwell on this too much, because I don't care. If ghouls have been around for a long time, I think they would have figured out some way to do homeschooling. You know, yeah. Like they would have figured it out.
Like tutoring or something.
It's kind of like with Harry Potter, where like all the wizards just feign ignorance about technology. Like they're not interested in it when it could like really benefit their society to learn that shit, but they don't do it.
Well, I mean, I think that stuff doesn't work, you know, because of all the magic and shit was the explanation.
Some things. But there are other things where it's kind of stupid that they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do use stuff like cars and whatnot, you know?
Kind of. But no, those are the wackos who do that.
Yeah.
Purebloods or whatever, like the crazy hardcore wizards, they don't want even, they scoff at Muggle stuff, even though Muggles have things like nukes, you know?
Yeah. Like, maybe we should get us some of those. Nah.
Anyway, you guys want to talk about Hunter x Hunter? Hunter x Hunter, episode 54. Fortunes aren't right. In this episode, Killua puts a pie in Gon's face, and that's the episode. All right, everybody, good night.
Also, Hisoka is—he's a goddamn troll.
Yeah, he's a super troll. I didn't actually realize that he had changed the fortune.
Really?
Until someone on the thread was like, "Yeah, he changed the fortune."
Of course he did. He's got the freaking texture surprise thing. Because the fortune would have told everyone that he betrayed them. And why.
But wait, I thought that's what happened. I thought that they...
No, he changed it up enough so that it, you know, says, oh yeah, no, I betrayed you, but I was forced to do it. I didn't do it for shits and giggles.
Oh.
And then he's like goes over and is like, hey, he's totally alive! Emoji.
Yeah, the emoji was cool.
He does love his emoji. I mean, he speaks in emoji, so, you know.
I guess, and for people, I guess, who maybe didn't see the episode, it's worth mentioning that a couple episodes ago, when Krolo was hanging out with Neon, and he, like, knocked her out, that's when he stole her power. So now he can do her power, which is, you know...
Fortune-telling.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Apparently, they don't really explain how he can steal powers in the series proper, but it's basically he has to see it himself. He's got to ask him a question about it. He has to make their hand touch his book, and all that has to be done within an hour.
Okay.
And then in order to use the power, he's got to open the book to the right page in his right hand and then keep it open for as long as he wants to use it.
And then some, like, weird demon... Oh, no, the demon thing coming out, that was her power that he took.
Yeah, that was her power. That's the thing that writes the fortune.
Right.
Yeah, Krolo's still weird.
Yeah, his power is, like, ridiculously convoluted. But it's either really convoluted or it has, like, a death sentence attached to it.
They're also mostly from Meteor City, which is just kind of a junkyard.
Yeah, it's a shithole where all the dangerous people live.
Yeah, I kind of like that part because I like getting a little context about where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about this when I was watching this episode. It's like other shows, this episode was almost completely exposition. Like almost nothing happened other than characters explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in any other show, I might get bored about this, or I might find it uninteresting, or whatever. And somehow this show makes it interesting, and it's like I am legitimately curious about what's going on. It's well directed, I think, is what it is.
It's well directed, and the characters are well written enough where even the bad guys, you sort of care about them a bit. You know, it's like you want to see what happens to them. You want to know more about them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Because, like, the troop aren't, like, you know, like, they're the standard, they're not the standard evil organization thing. They look like they could just as easily be, you know, sort of the main characters cast in a series.
Right.
Yeah, the fortunes they're reading kind of centers the point home that despite Kurapika being technically one of the protagonists, he's really is more or less depicted as some antagonizing force for these antagonists. It's like their death was like the odds are not in their favors, even so technically speaking, it's not.
Right, and like Kurapika and Killua both, while being technically the heroes of our show, are also morally ambiguous characters.
Mm-hmm.
Killers known to murder people. I mean, like, it's a good show when you can have characters that are this complicated written, you know, and still you like them.
Yeah. So, I think that's a big part of the reason why everyone puts up with all the hiatuses and some of the exposition and, you know, generally how long it takes to get through an arc because everyone, you know, cares about who these guys are and what they're doing.
Yep. It's pretty good. Want to talk about the long-awaited, we don't have to deal with it again, unicorn?
Let's get this over with.
Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn, episode 22, Return.
Okay, so that opening, was that DeMarco doing that, or was that Sunrise?
That was Sunrise.
Apparently Sunrise made this ridiculous opening where it's like a comedy.
It was like, because it felt like if it was DeMarco, it would have been like, oh, he actually pays attention to our complaints about the show and tried to, you know, explain it a little bit.
It was kind of funny in, like, a flippant way. It's like, hey, there's this guy. He's Benazir. You don't need to know about his past, but he's this and that. And there's this girl. She's got green eyes. And it's like that. I'm like, what the hell is this?
And then he got full frontal. He's full of naked ambition.
That was...
Now you get it.
Now I get it.
Yeah, it was like they were like a half step away from having the Space Dandy narrator just narrate that entire thing.
I don't remember anything about the episode except for the goofy recap at the beginning and the girl transmitting her message. And the whole time I was thinking to myself, no one will fact check this.
Boy, like, this is a really boring message.
Or they could just be like, they're just taking her word. It's like she could have said, I found Laplace's box. It has this special thing on here. It says that, you know, you must treat the new tribes with respect and you must serve them ice cream on every other day of the week. And they would believe her because they won't bother to check it.
It's like, too bad. I've got the box. Fuck you. That's what it says.
What box? I see a inscription of something. Is it a doublet? What is it?
Yeah.
Thus continuing the confusion, like, it's not a box, though.
Yeah, they kept calling it the box up until the very end. It's dumb.
Like, it's what's in the box?
It's not even a box.
Right. What happened? What was, like, the final shots of this? I don't even remember.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Nobody here knows, do they? Do you know? B-dubs, do you know?
No, I don't care.
I don't even remember how it ends. Like, I remember Full Frontal, like, turning into a space ghost and flying away, but I think that happened in the previous episode.
Yeah, no, that was last episode.
Yeah.
Well, in this episode, Benazir also almost turned into a space ghost and flew away, but then he didn't, I think.
Oh, because
did he yell space ghost like space ghost?
Like something about the job, like Rainer, Blonde Sasuke said to him, like, it's not over yet. It's something still.
Except it is.
Something.
Who, what's the guy that you hate?
Riddy.
Riddy. Yeah, so Riddy
saved him or whatever.
According to the Wikipedia page, it says he's by blocking the laser, that giant laser Blinks was absorbed into the Gundam. So I had to look this up to remember what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I do know. I do know that the chick with the man face got arrested. I remember that.
Or something like that.
Yeah. She got taken away.
Why did she get arrested?
Because she was the one who, like, was trying to destroy the thing, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. Why did they arrest her? Was she not allowed to shoot the super mega laser?
I guess.
Maybe that's why. I don't know. I didn't care at that point.
Yeah.
And then, the fat guy who was her brother, like, didn't have to go to jail for some reason. So, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, which fat guy? The one that was the joke or the one that was serious?
I don't know. There was a serious one. They're all kind of jokes to me, but...
Well, one's annoying, the other's trying to be stoic.
I guess... No, the annoying one.
That was Link's brother.
Something like that.
Just very distant brother, I guess. Yeah, that's one shot scene where, like the expression of, like, regretting, like, activating the laser, but I'm like...
Yeah, because he was like, Riddy's out there! And everybody freaked out. And it's like,
that's what it was? Because I didn't have no clue why he was freaking out right there.
Yeah, for some reason he grew a conscience in, like, a millisecond.
Also, Benazra and Riddy just suddenly have, like, a bromance for some reason. And it's like, this guy just killed that person you really liked.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I do remember, though, and that's typical for this show, is that it had, like, a really nice, like, ending credit sequence that was, like, really well done. Like, everything about the production quality of this show is so good. It's such a shame that I don't care about it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, this should be one of the contenders for show of the year, but it's just not.
Super duper not.
No. Not even close. It'll make a list that's like best looking show or great music, but not anything else.
Yeah, it'll come in second for best looking show of the year, and that's about it.
Yeah, this is basically the milkshake duck, except not morally offensive, at least.
Wait, why is milkshake duck offensive?
It's the joke of 5 minutes later. Oops, turns out he's racist.
Oh, right. Because I had seen this gif of a duck that bit a dog in the dick, and I'm like, wait, and for some reason I thought of that.
What's going on? we need the show back on track.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Chip it in. Naruto Shippuden, episode 161. Surname is Sarutobi, given name Konohamaru. Oh, this is a great title. In which Konohamaru fights the worst and lamest pain. You can't even kill Konohamaru. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crap. I mean,
a unicorn-style fat face.
He does. And he must have killed lots of, like, Anbu Black Ops guys, but he can't kill this one kid.
Yeah,
well, you know, they're generally garbage.
Oh, okay, I guess that's a bad example. I should have said, like, he's probably killed other, like, elite ninjas in the Leaf Village, but he comes across this kid who just happens to be Naruto's sort of pupil, and then that kid can pull a fast one on him.
Yeah. So, somehow, Konohamaru learned the Rasengan, somehow, off-screen somewhere.
I was going to say, didn't it take Naruto, like, a week worth of episodes to learn that?
Yeah, it did.
Kids these days.
Well, I mean, Naruto probably gave him, you know, the shortcut, so.
Well, yeah. Konohamaru, he can't use the shortcut.
I thought Konohamaru did use the shortcut, though.
I mean, he can't use all of those clones, though.
Well, I mean, he can use the one.
It's dubious if that would work. I think it's all just sort of like, he learned the trick and now he's going to use it. And this episode just feels like, hey, remember the kids? Let's use an episode with them.
Yeah. Because, you know, they exist.
Yeah. But I'm more interested to talk about this Pain's weird-ass power with, like, tongues or whatever. Like, what the hell is that thing?
Were those really tongues?
All right, I need to look that up because I need to know exactly what that thing was doing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it ripped their tongues out.
It doesn't look like tongues because nobody's tongue is that big. So I don't know what we're looking at there.
Well, I mean, it looked like he ripped their tongues out.
Well, yeah, it does, but like it's the size of an arm comes out of their mouth. It doesn't make sense.
And like longer than their bodies, like.
Right.
Tongues really that lengthy?
And then there's just this big face for some reason that appears, and it's like a face, and it's like, what the hell is that?
Hold on, I'm trying. I can't figure out which one of these paths is which path. Hold on.
Okay. I really actually do want to know what the hell that thing is and what it's called, because I have no idea.
I just figured he was just producing physical pain, was producing, I guess, physical manifestations of their secrets, but...
Yeah, and I kind of get, like, okay, so, like, he's pulling something out of them to test whether they're lying, but I don't know why it's, like, a big, like, cylindrical bit of flesh coming out of their mouth and going into the face of another giant thing. It's like, what is that face about? It's so weird.
So the King of Hell, it's called the King of Hell. After their answers are given, the King of Hell will unzip its mouth to release tendril-like arms and would drown an apparition of the victim's life force energy in the form of an enlarged tongue. Okay, whatever.
So it was their tongue.
It's magic. I don't know how to explain shit.
Okay.
They got big ass tongues.
It is so. Like, I'll give them props for being original, but, like, usually in Naruto, like, the jutsu powers, like, you can kind of put it together. It's like, oh, yeah, he's using frogs and whatever. This is, like, just. He's pulling something out of his ass, and I don't know what it is.
And this is not even explained in this show.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of doubt it, depending on... I guess it is kind of explained because it's in the wiki or whatever, but like that description does not tell me much.
No. He just rips people's tongues out. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
So they can't tell people that they told.
Yeah.
So he enlarges, as you said, it enlarges and apparently also highly lengthens the tongue, too.
The tongue gets really girthy and erect.
Anyway, this episode continues all of the village members just being like, Naruto was amazing!
And then we skip to Naruto and it's like, Naruto's crap.
Yeah, and then they leave you with the cliffhanger. It's like, I've got the perfect solution to know how to do the whatever jutsu or the whatever mode, Sage mode. And it's like everybody,
shadow clones.
Yeah, anybody who knows anything about this show is like, oh yeah, he's going to use shadow clones, duh.
But like Kakashi literally made the same joke that, you know, Papa Frog did. It's like, oh, I can look left and right at the same time, shadow clone.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, here's this thing again.
So what's like he going to do? Is he literally just going to have one shadow clone gather the energy and just disappear, but then he gets the chakra?
Yeah.
See, I have not seen this show, but that's exactly what I thought would happen. And yeah, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
Yeah, it's got to be. Again, it's like the Rasengan thing where like he gets like 12 clones to like help him make it.
I mean, the trick is, you know, making sure the clones just don't get exploded right away.
One thing that people were talking about in the thread that I thought was interesting was all of the Leaf Village people were like this Pain was going around as like, have you seen Naruto? And they're all like, I wouldn't tell you. And I'm thinking...
Don't they all hate him?
Who?
The Leaf Village guys. Don't they all hate Naruto?
Well, apparently the entire point of this arc is that suddenly, oh, that was a lie the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think that they hate him. But I will say that, like, I kept, and I made a point in the thread to say, like, why don't they just go, he's somewhere else or whatever, like, or I haven't seen him. But instead they just keep going, I won't tell you. I mean, I get, like, you're trying to be loyal, but if you really genuinely don't know where Naruto is, then why would you, like, just piss off the Pain people? Why wouldn't you just say, I don't know? It seems like you're just letting more people die. Or if you're just like, he's not here. He's not here. Go away. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kill any more of our people. He's literally not here.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's off in the woods. Go, you know, go into the mountains or something.
Yeah, and then somebody in the thread was like, yeah, but then that guy could tell that they were lying. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. But they don't even have to lie. All they really have to do is go,
he is not here.
We don't know where he is. Go away. you don't have to torture anyone else because nobody here knows.
None of them know. So they wouldn't really know anyways. Like how they react to this unknown person would probably vary. Imagine it kind of surprised, like one person didn't like just try the light to him. Like, oh, he's over there. Since this is some unknown
entity.
Hey,
I found Donzo. Donzo's like, oh, I know exactly where he is. Please don't kill me. I'm a huge bitch.
I'll even show you how to get there.
I will literally bring his head on you to a platter.
Yeah.
I don't like him anyway.
Wait, let me try that again. Shit. I will literally bring his head on a platter to you. Because I, whatever.
What?
I, like, reversed it first. Whatever. Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
Is there anything else? Anything else in this episode?
It's nice to hear Crispin Freeman again.
Oh, yeah. He was in the episode.
The guy.
It sucks his character didn't put much of a fight.
Yeah, he just got destroyed.
It was like, oh, I should have made that mistake. Like, and you spend all this time talking about Naruto or, like, a kid. And it, like, okay, maybe there was an honest mistake, but you still can get out of this. And then he made a comment like, oh, I'm not going to die. And like, oh, so you really were, oh, whatever.
Well, the other made worse by the fact that he comes in to distract the Pain so that the kid can go away. And what does the kid do? He just hangs around.
Like, how do you even distract? Like, he's far enough away in the city to just go away without even needing it.
He's like, I don't know what the guy's name was. He's like, blah, blah, sensei. What are you here for? And he's like, I'm here to protect you. Now go. And I will distract the Pain guy. You run away. And he's like, yes, sensei. And then the kid just doesn't leave. And then the guy dies because the kid wouldn't leave. Stupid kid.
Yeah.
But by sticking around, he ends up saving his ass.
I mean, I get that the kid is, you know, he's like Naruto. He's high-spirited and, you know, he thinks he can win and all that crap. But it's just like, come on, kid, you're supposed to leave when you're elders tell you to leave.
Unless your elder is stupid as you are, apparently.
Anyway, so that's our show. Thank you, B-Boy.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
Good.
Thank you, C-Caller.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye. Later.